We're going to be at the book of Revelation just this morning. I want to just talk about the resurrection of our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. And in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, I just want to read some of the scripture. Just listen and be encouraged by what it says. We're going to start reading in verse number 1 of chapter 1. All right. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Don't you like that? Amen. Yeah, he is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I like that too. Amen. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Once again, says he's coming. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. And then Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Once again, he reminds us he's coming again. And he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white with wool, a white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. My, what a wonderful, wonderful portion of Scripture. That is the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming again. We look forward to him and to him coming. And let me say, folks, there's a lot of things in this old world. It's all a mess, but Jesus is in control. I just want you to remember that. I don't want you get all fretting over all that's going on in this world. God's still sitting on the throne, and he's going to send his son real soon to get us. So we can look forward to that. But I just wanted to mention to you this morning a little bit about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what sealed our Christian faith. There's all been all kinds of men who have died and was buried. And if that was all we had, we'd have something to worry about. But we have a precious Savior that the announcement at the tomb was, he's not here. He is risen, as he has said. And so again, what a marvelous thing on Sunday morning, on Easter day, that we can look forward to and rejoice in the fact that we have a precious, wonderful Savior who is absolutely risen from the dead. The Bible says in Romans, the first chapter, and he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. We find also that here was John. He was, and this is that same risen Savior that John saw. And he saw him a little bit different than what most folks saw him when they was here on this earth. We see a resurrected, glorified Christ. And that's what John turned and saw, because he heard this voice. It was like a trumpet. And he was given instructions on what to do, to write to the seven churches. And I've thought, as when I was pastoring, many times, many, many, many times, I've said to the Lord, if you was here today, how would you critique this church? I've said that many times. I've said, Lord, you look at what he does to the seven churches and how he writes to them and discusses the problems they may be having and uplifts them for the good things. But I've always said, I wonder if he would come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about when I was pastoring. And I wonder what he would say, how he would critique it. Because, listen, that's what's important. What does Jesus see in a church? What does he see when he sees us here doing the work of God? And what he sees is important. And so I always tried to let him help me to see if there was things that needed to be corrected, and it seems like they always was. Seems like that's life. And as he taught me and showed me, we tried to correct things as we went along. But anyway, we see that John here, he turned to see this voice. And I just read to you the description of the Lord Jesus Christ. That must have been an amazing, amazing sight. I can't really even imagine it, but it must have been amazing to see him in all of his glory. And to see those eyes of fire. Thought about those many times. One day I'm going to see those eyes of fire, and you are too. Because it's those eyes of fire that's going to judge us as Christians. And that which doesn't last will be burned up. And so I look at it in two ways. I'm some ways I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ, but on the other hand, I'm looking forward to seeing my Savior. I'm looking so forward just to seeing him as he truly is. He's not some lamb anymore that's slaughtered on an old tree. He's the Son of God, and he's that Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I just wish I could describe him and tell you how much I love him. And then I think you don't love him enough, and I don't think I do, but I'm working on it. I tell you what, he deserves all the love and the praise and the honor that men can give him. We should not do anything else but give him the great praise and honor and the glory that Jesus Christ truly deserves. And so anyway, I noticed, and in verse 17, I want to read it to you again. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. Now, if you go through the scriptures in the New Testament, I could have missed one. I could have. I don't know. But as far as I know, there's 14 times in the New Testament that our Lord says, "Fear not." I want to kind of go over a few of those with you because, as I said, there's so many things going on in this old world. I mean troubled times. There's people facing real hardships and troubles and difficulties. But we get a word from heaven that continues to come down through the Word of God that says to us, "Fear not. You don't have to fear. God is in control. He loves us. He cares for us. If He saved our soul, He'll also care for us on a daily basis. That's a promise of God." And so I noticed those. Some of those, I'm probably not going to cover all of them, but I remember when Joseph was in fear of taking Mary as his wife because he thought, you know, she was with child. He didn't know what to think. But the angel of the Lord came and said to Joseph, "Fear not, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife. Don't fear, it's all right." I think how the comfort of God must have come upon Joseph when he was told not to fear, told by the Lord himself that everything was all right. And then, of course, I seen where he said in the scriptures, I think the next one is, he said to not fear them which kill the body. You know, we sometimes worry about what man will do unto me. But he says, don't fear those who can just kill the body and then have no more that they can do. You see, we're to fear God, but we don't have to fear about this old body of ours. And if it dies, folks, we got a risen Savior. We got this wonderful Son of God, and we don't have to fear what man can do unto me. That's a promise of God Almighty. And then he told Zacharias, he was in the temple, and an angel came and appeared to Zacharias. Zacharias didn't know what was going on, and the angel told him, "Fear not, Zacharias." He told him that Elizabeth was going to have a child. Elizabeth was a little old. And said, "She's going to have a child, and you're going to name him John." Again, I don't know if you can ever put yourself in these situations or not, but I'm just one of those people who try to do that. I've thought about Zacharias and how he must have felt and what he must have been a scary thing to some degree. Here's an angel of God appearing to you, you know. But he says, "Fear not." I just want you to know something, folks. You know, no matter what it is you're facing, it just doesn't matter what it is. I know some of you have hardships and troubles and difficulties. I know that. But I just want to tell you something. You don't have to fear. You have a wonderful resurrected Savior. And He knows all about everything that you're going through. Amen. I know sometimes you feel alone, don't you? Maybe you don't feel that way. I've felt that way before. Felt like, you know, no one cares. Don't make any difference, you know. Well, there is someone who cares. He's a precious Savior, resurrected Savior who cares. And He says to us, "Don't fear. I've got all things under control." See, I know what's going on. And then he even told Mary, you remember, he said the very same thing to Mary. He said, "Mary, fear not." He said, "For you've found favor with God." Again, Mary didn't understand. She no way in the world she could understand what was going on. She hadn't even known a man. How could she have a child? And God says to her, "Just fear not, Mary. You found favor with God." Now, there's a lot of things. Now, I'm serious about this. Listen to me. A lot of things you and I don't understand. I've had a lot of things happen in my life I've not understood. But it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. God says, just don't fear. Whatever it is, it's all right. I know what's going on, you see. You don't have to fear. And so that's encouraging. I know it is to me anyway. Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue. He had a daughter that was sick. And the he was told by the Lord, he said, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. A lot of folks sick. And sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. But there's one thing for sure. I think our pastors, I remember, he preached on that. You know, God can just reach down and heal. Yes, he can. He can reach down and heal. But if he doesn't do that, he gives you the ultimate healing. Takes you home. Gives you a new body. Amen. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that, folks. That's all right. Amen. It's just all right. He told Jairus here that his daughter would be all right and be made whole. Again, I'm saying to you, I'm trying to get you to just not worry and fret. You got a precious Savior. He's a resurrected Savior. And he can do all things. Nothing our precious Savior can't do. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. You put it in his hands. He can do it. And that's a promise, you see. And I was thinking about too, he said, fear not, you have more value than the sparrows. And God cares about the sparrows. He says, not one falls to the ground without him knowing it. And he said, you're of much more value than the sparrows. Remember when I was a young boy, I don't know how old I was, probably around 10 or 11. I'm sure I probably was 11 because I bought my first BB gun. Dad didn't have money to buy us things like that, and I was doing some work, and I bought a BB gun. And I thought that was the greatest thing. I got me a target and started shooting that BB gun, you know. And I remember looking up in a tree, and there was a sparrow sitting up there. And I looked at that sparrow, and I said, I just wonder if I could hit that sparrow. Yeah, I did. I mean. But anyway, I said, I'm going to see if I can hit that sparrow. And I did. I shot at him and I killed him. He come flying out of that tree. I mean, dropping out of that tree. And I went over and I looked at that sparrow. And he was still, his heart, little heart was just kind of beating, you know, and he was dying. And I never felt so bad in all of my life. No, I'm serious. I said, well, why did you shoot him? And I took him finally, picked him up, took him and I buried him, dug a little hole and I buried him. Now, I didn't know about the scriptures and all of that then, about me being have more value than a sparrow, and that God took notice of a sparrow that falls to the ground. But even without knowing them things, I felt so bad. I really felt bad that I never did that again. Now, we've went hunting. My dad always taught us this. You go hunting, you kill something, you eat it. You don't ever waste it. You kill a rabbit, you bring him home, we skin him, and we eat it. You get a squirrel, quail, whatever it was. Now, I never felt bad about that, but I always felt bad about that little sparrow that I'd killed. I had no reason. I wasn't going to eat him. And but I always felt bad about it. And but God says, and he says to me and you, you're of more value than a sparrow. And the reason is because you have an eternal soul. You'll live forever. See, that old sparrow died and just went back to the dust of the earth, but God cared about it because he made him. Cared about it. But he says, you're of more value than a sparrow. And he took notice of a sparrow that falls to the ground. So I'm saying to you, will you remember that God loves you and that you're more valuable than a sparrow? He cares more about you because you're an eternal soul. He cares what happens to you. I mean, will you just remember that today? Will you just remember he does care and he loves you and I don't care what problem you're going through, he's concerned and cares and is working on it. See, one of the things in the scriptures you teach, you know, it talks about if you ask anything of God, said he will do it. But that doesn't mean he's going to do it immediately. He begins to work on things and deal with things. And it may take time. Sometimes it takes weeks, and sometimes it takes months, and sometimes it takes years. But in his own timing, God begins to work and to answer our prayers. I believe that. So don't fear. Okay? Just don't fear. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. And anyway, and then I think about how when I found out what kind of a sinner I was, not just from the sparrow, but I've done a few other things that wasn't right. And I found out what kind of a sinner I was. I found out also that I have a Savior that will forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I want to tell you something. That just thrills my heart to know that I have a Savior that has forgiven me of every sin I ever did commit, ever will commit. I have a Savior that washed me clean in the precious blood. Amen? Boy, that's a marvelous thing. So I don't have to fear. No, I have a forgiving, wonderful Savior. You know, God told Paul. Paul was in a storm, terrible storm. And they just seemed like all hope was gone. But the Bible says the Lord stood by him. And he said to Paul, "Fear not." Now, I don't know what kind of storms you're in, whether you're in any or not. But I can tell you there's a Savior whispering from heaven saying, "Fear not. It's okay. I'm with you. I'm standing by you." All right. You say, "Yeah, he'd do that for other folks." No, he'd do that for you. See, we sometimes want to look at other people and think that they're more in tune with God than we are, so God won't do these things. No, that's not true. You have a loving Heavenly Father, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, that loves you and cares about you every moment of every day. Every day and every moment. Cares what happens to you. Cares what you're going through. He cares about those things. And boy, I just want to encourage you. See, you don't have to fear not. Our Lord is always, always there, you see. And so whatever you're going through, I was thinking about prayer. I've had prayers that I've prayed for years about people who I want to see saved, people who I want to see healed. Charles English in this church prayed for Ruth, I guess close 20 years, I suppose, wasn't it, Charles? You know? And God did a marvelous thing in her life and saw to the fact that she had a lot of years added to her life. But there came a time when God said it was time to go home. But I know I've had prayers. I've got prayers now, people I pray for, that those prayers have not been answered. But I was reading something here a while back, a little story, and it was a true story. You know, it's just not a preacher story. It's a true story. I read this, and he said it really happened. He said that this woman, they lived out in the country. Her and her husband lived out in the country, and there was a little Baptist church not far from her where they lived. And so she got to going to church, walking up to the church there every Sunday. It wasn't very far, and she'd walk up to the church. So she got saved, and she trusted Christ as her Savior and came back and told her husband, and he was a pretty mean fella, I understand, and he just wouldn't pay attention to her, said he didn't want anything to do with it whatsoever. And he was a man that done a lot of drinking, and he swore and treated her pretty bad. And he would not have anything to do with him. So she began to pray for him. And so she would continue to go to church, and she'd walk up to the church. Well, she had a dog. And this dog, every Sunday, began to walk with her to church. And he'd go up there, and he'd lay outside the church there and wait on her. As soon as she'd get done, well, they'd walk home together. This went on for Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And it finally came to the time where she got really, really sick. And she told the Lord, "Lord, you haven't answered my prayer. I prayed for my husband. I want him to be saved. And you haven't answered that." And anyway, she died without the prayer being answered. And so anyway, some time went by, and the old husband, he got to watch, and he noticed that old dog every Sunday morning would get up and go down to church, go down somewhere. He was wondering where in the world he was going. So one morning he followed him, and he followed him, went down to the church and heard some singing, went into the church and heard the word of God and got saved. I'm just saying to you, God can answer prayer even after we're gone. I don't think he forgets prayer. You know, I don't think if you pray and pray for years and pray for things and continue, I don't think God forgets that. And I, again, want to encourage you. You just don't have to fear. God's in control. Amen. I hope to see some people saved before I die. But if I don't, I'm just going to trust God will do it anyway. Just going to trust the Lord will do it. He'll answer prayer in some way, do it. I've got a cousin. She's probably right at my age. Would you just pray for Darlene? Just if the Lord brings her to your remembrance, would you just pray for Darlene? Darlene and I, we used to play together, things like that. She still says to me, I remember the time I beat you up. And I said, Darlene, that's a big lie. You never beat me up. Yes, I did too. I beat you up when you was young. No. I don't remember that. Of course, I wouldn't want to remember that if she did. Anyway, would you please pray for her? She needs salvation. She needs saved. She's probably about 71 or 2, and she needs saved. So if the Lord just brings her to your remembrance, I'd like for you to pray for Darlene, if you would. God answers prayer. Amen? God answers prayer. God's good, and he tells us we don't have to fear. You know, I could offer you comfort, and you could offer me comfort about things in life, and I think we should. I think we ought to be encouraging to one another. But you know, my comfort is probably not going to last a whole long time. But the comfort of a wonderful Savior that he gives is unlimited as far as what it can do. Men will fail each other. We can't help it. We're men. We're human beings. But Jesus Christ will never, ever fail you. He just won't. Amen. And they see there's absolutely nothing in this world that needs to be done that Jesus cannot do if he decides to do it. Amen. I can't do everything. You can't either. You can't make life easier for me most of the time. Or I can't chew, but Jesus Christ can. He's the Son of God, and he's the resurrected Son of God. So he says, fear not, I am the first and the last. In Psalms, the 90th chapter of Psalms, he tells us what time is it, 4:15. I better get cut off when I'm supposed to. I got to remember that, see. Psalms 90th chapter, he said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, Jesus is always, he's first, none before him. You remember when John the Baptist said, and John the Baptist was born first, but he said, he was before me. Talking about Jesus. He's before me. You see, Jesus himself said, before Abraham was, I am. You know, he always has been. There's not a really a beginning for Jesus Christ. He's not only the Son of God, he's God the Son. Amen. He's got that I am. I love them two words. I love to read it in the Bible. I am. That means he's everything. There's nothing he can't do. He's just everything. He's the I am. And he can do anything. You see? And he's that wonderful resurrected Savior that we are going to love and think about today and appreciate and thank God for, you see. So in John, the first chapter, you and the first verse, you know, where he says that In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want you to remember something today, and you probably already know all these things I'm telling you. But you've got to remember, Jesus is not just the Son of God, which He is, but He's God the Son. He's God. Amen. He is God, and he deserves to be worshipped. And should be worshipped, you see. And you remember when Peter came to Cornelius, and Cornelius had sent for him, and he wanted him to teach him about the Word of God. And the Bible tells us that when Peter came, Cornelius fell down at his feet, began to worship him. And Peter said, "Oh," he said, "get up." He said, "I'm just a man like you." Amen. There's not a person anywhere on the face of this earth that deserves worship. That's Jesus Christ that deserves all the worship. Amen. He's God, and he deserves worship from us old human beings, you see. Even the angel here in the book of Revelation told John, he said, because John had fell at his feet, and he said, "Get up." He said, "I'm just a servant like you." See, no one deserves worship but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. And I hope today we'll worship Him. We'll love Him and worship Him for who He truly is. Now, He also says, not only is He the first, but He's also the last. I'm going to read verse 8 again. He says, "And I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." You know what? With Him, there is no ending. He's forever. He's always has been, always will be. And as long as He's on the throne and He always will be alive, I want to tell you something. We don't have anything to worry about. We don't have anything to fret about. That's why He tells us to fear not. Oh, I take care of things. I'm right here. You see, that's our precious Lord. And He tells us in verse 18 there. You'll notice in verse 18, He says, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." You notice what He says there? He says, "I'm alive forevermore." Evermore. Forever. So we don't have to worry about what's going to happen down in the future. He's still going to be around always throughout all eternity, taking care of us. He's up there now providing and getting a place ready for us. Amen. And then He's going to come after us. So we have a Savior that is alive forever, evermore. Now, I was thinking about that because I was thinking about, and please, I'm not trying to be morbid, okay? But I was just thinking about death. I once in a while stop and think about what it would be to step into the presence of Jesus Christ. And I thought, you know what? He is my Savior. He is on the throne. He liveth forever and ever. And even in death, He's going to give me the grace to die. Yes, He will. Promise of God. Now, come on. You can say amen. He's going to give me the grace when it comes time for me to go on. He'll give me the grace to die. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the promise of the Word of God. You're the precious, precious Savior. And then in verse 18, just look at that victory. Look at He said, "I am He that liveth and was dead," He said. "And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and of death." Can I just promise you something? You won't die till God says it's time. No. No, you won't. And I won't either. I don't care what this old world does to me. I'll go when Jesus says it's okay. He's got the key. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm just trying to encourage you. When you get my age, you start looking at the other end rather than the back end. Amen. And you say, you know what? It's coming one of these days, and we may get it a while. Yes, Maxine.
That will stop
Oh, I had forgot that. It was on Easter. I had. Thank you for reminding. I miss Dallas. I know you do. I do too. Can I tell you a little story what I do? I like apples. Dallas liked apples. And I'll eat an apple probably five times a week, probably four or five times a week. And every time I eat an apple, I get it eat down to the core. And I'll say, Dallas, did I do all right? And the reason is Maxine told me he used to take an apple, and if you didn't eat it clear down, you wasted any of it, you was in trouble. And so I'll hold it like this, and Donna knows I do, and I'll say, Dallas, did I do all right? And I gnaw it down clear to the to the core. And so we miss him. But he's in a wonderful place. And Lord willing, near future, we may not even have to go through death. We may go through the rapture. Jesus Christ is not only resurrected, he's went to the right hand of the Father, and he's coming again. Amen. And I better quit. Father, thank you today for your love. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the promises of the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.